Hello, and welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's Monkey See Entertainment and Pop Culture blog.
And I'm Rob Sachs. I am the guy who has all those dilemmas to tackle.
And what are we going to tackle today, Rob?
You know, we're just 3 weeks away from St. Paddy's Day, where people all over the world will be consuming stouts in large quantities.
Linda, green, often.
Yes, I am nowhere near Irish. I have not one little fleck of Irish in me. However, I love drinking a good stout on St. Paddy's Day and joining in the fun. But the one thing I don't like is waiting outside these large pubs and everyone's going crazy, and then like you're waiting for a beer for an hour. And is that really the way you want to celebrate? I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
So I was thinking this year I want to do something different.
You are going to grease the bouncer generously.
That is one way you can do it, and that's a past podcast too. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to brew my own beer. And I was inspired by this by Charlie Papazian. He is the founder and president of the American Home Brewers Association and the author of The Complete Joy of Home Brewing, which has sold over 1 million copies.
That is a lot of beer.
I know. A lot of beer. A lot of people reading about beer. A lot of beer thought going into Mr. Papazian. Now, he said making your own beer is surprisingly simple.
It's as easy as opening a can of ingredients, putting in water, and boiling water.
See, so it's just boiling ingredients on the stove.
That sounds fairly easy, something even I could do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought like, whoa, because I visited one time a brewery, and you see these huge, large vats, and you're like, okay, this is going to be a very involved process. But really, there's only 4 ingredients to most beers. It's grains, hops, yeast, and water.
And green food coloring.
Add green food coloring, right, if you're for doing St. Paddy's Day. And the
green, I'm obsessed with green food coloring.
Why not? Hey, you got to get in the spirit here. Now, the greens usually come in the form of malted barley, which then gets converted to the sugar, which then makes the alcohol when you add the yeast. And then you got to put it into a large fermenter, which is like a 6.5-gallon drum or whatever, and let the yeast do its work. And a couple weeks later, voila, you've got some beer on your hands. It's that easy.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this, of course, is a gross oversimplification of the process because the true home brewers, they like to add in all this fancy stuff like chocolates or juniper berries or green food coloring, whatever
That's
it is.
For me only.
Yes. There's lots of ways to do variations, as Mr. Papazian's telling me, but the basic process is pretty simple.
So you can kind of throw in anything that you want.
Yeah, I mean, he has been doing this for close to 4 decades, and he told me about his crazy days of making beers in the 70s.
I think I may be one of the original Mr. Crazies when it comes to home brewing. I started putting honey in beer and fruit in beer and spices, different flavorings, and people thought I had lost my mind.
Lost his gourd.
Yeah, indeed. Do you think there's anything that doesn't work? Did he explain that?
We did. I mean, because I was saying, well, could this work? He's like, yeah, anything. Throw it in. I was like, there has to be something you throw in beer that's really going to taste nasty. And we discussed this, and here's what he said.
One beer that I can recall is a garlic beer.
That sounds gross. Garlic beer. And then and then you sweat it. Ugh.
And then you have sweaty beer sweat.
Garlicky. Gross.
It was intense.
So you would want the garlic beer to be your 10th or 11th beer in a row, or else it's not going to, you know, be very pleasing.
He also told me, though, that he had a little bit of garlic in a pizza beer, which he said worked. So I don't even know, but
what would go into a pizza beer?
He said there was hints of tomato and oregano and then a little bit of garlic and, I don't know, cheese. It was weird, but people are making really crazy beers out there. And I said, okay, that's great, but fortunately, he said one of the easiest beers to make is a stout. So I was thinking, hey, let's go out, buy some equipment, and get things started.
Wow. Is it expensive? What does it cost?
Well, you can find online, there's tons of places that will sell you a basic beer home brewing kit. And they run anywhere from maybe under $100 to you know, you can go high end and maybe spend a few thousand. But there are lots of local places, like home brewing is this little cult that I'm finding. The more I talk to people, like, oh yeah, I'm a home brewer, I know all about this. So you can find specialty stores all throughout the country that will sell you these kits, these fermenters and all the little hoses and little things you need to buy. But he said it's really not that expensive. The initial cost, like I said, maybe $100. And then each batch, he said, is maybe the cost of a six-pack. So the most expensive thing you may buy is the bottle capper.
Oh, wow.
And isn't that fun? Like making your own bottle caps and your own labels and whatever, calling it whatever you want, like Rob's.
Absolutely.
Crazy stout. Watch out.
Yeah, I did have somebody bring some very delightful homebrewed beer and also hard cider to a party at my house recently. And it was very, very delightful. It was very good.
The other thing, too, about homebrewing is that there's a lot less room for error than home winemaking, which is a lot harder. And I've had some people give me their homemade wine, which was disgusting.
Yeah, I have to say the homebrewed beer and cider at the party was a big hit, partly because it does feel a little bit personal. A lot of times at parties, you get kind of the same stuff every time. And so it was nice. It was a very nice sort of gift to bring to the party.
Well, that's the thing that Charlie Papazian was saying, too, is that I said, well, aren't, you know, a lot of these home brewers really just lushes who want to drink beer and get sloshed all the time? And he said, no. Exactly the opposite. He said, you're much less likely to start pounding these beers because you know how much work goes into the process. And he said, the more you make it, the more likely it is you'll be a responsible drinker.
It's about appreciating the art and science of beer and sharing with friends. It's not about drinking for beer just for drinking beer's sake.
So, Linda, I mean, you now can switch maybe your St. Paddy's Day tradition from getting sloppy drunk to being a sophisticated home brewer who comes into the party and be like, here is my special double bock ale that I made just for the occasion. And you can be the pretentious St. Paddy's Day drinker instead of the sloppy St. Paddy's Day drinker. What do you think of that?
It sounds like a good idea. I mean, I think St. Patrick's Day is a little too accessible. I'm thinking, you know, more highbrow.
Yeah, let's go highbrow this St. Paddy's Day. I think that is the way to go because Lord knows there's enough frat guys out there really getting sloshed, and we need to come in and do some highbrow stuff.
I was going to say, you have to find some way to fight back. So are you going to give it a try?
I am. Now, I am fortunate enough to actually know a few homebrewers in the area, so I don't need to go out and buy the big gallon drum for fermenting. But we are going to go to the homebrew store. We're going to buy some ingredients, try to make a stout, and I'm going to come back to you, and we're going to try some of Rob's homebrewed St. Paddy's Day special stout.
Oh, that sounds genius.
I'm hoping it will be. I mean, and I'm hoping you'll at least lie to me if it tastes disgusting.
I promise that I will.
Okay.
Right now, I give you my word.
Thank you, Linda.
And that'll do it for another edition of What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. And I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Rob Sachs. Hey, what's a pain in that gorilla subject? Bar that